Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. It's Liverpool. It's Arsenal. Again, having just dispatched them comprehensively on Monday night, the Liverpool B team is back, hopefully, to do the job again. And the same team that I have present for the final word show for that game is still here as well. It's myself, it is Chris Pajak, it is Sam Walker, and it's Emma Sanders as well for this one. And Chris, here we go again.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Really looking forward to seeing some of the fringe players, to be honest with you, again. Mad how, like, just such a quick turnaround from one round of the cup to the next there's been. And mad how quick a turnaround it's from Arsenal to Arsenal. But, you know, there's going to be a load of players here that we're going to be excited to see. You know, Tchimikas again. Obviously, you've got Nico Williams again. I want to see Kurt Jones. I want to see Minamino. I want to see Jota, Harvey Elliott. These are all lads that I want to see play football, because it was a really sort of good performance last week. But I think it's really difficult to understand exactly where they are because of the level of the opposition last week. And although it was one of the most fluid performances actually until the last game against Arsenal that we put in so far in this young season, I thought it was really good. The triangles were really good. What can they do against a level of opposition that is much better than Lincoln? And hopefully does play a very, very similar side, and we get to just sort of mark where they're up to. Because I think for me, what it looked like the other night is mid-table prem. And maybe I'm being a little bit too kind there. But, you know, coming up against Arsenal and their squads, you know, I really want to see where we're at.
Yeah, we always kind of think this, you know, when it goes well, we think our other players are absolute worlds. It normally happens when we batter Tranmere in pre-season, Sam, and you presume that, like, Ryan Kent, Harry Wilson and Rian Brewster are the heir apparent to, you know, Neymar, Messi and Suarez. And it never quite works out that way when they come up against slightly better opposition. Normally, like, Borussia Dortmund, who tonkers everywhere. I think it's important there. I mean, the big question is, and something I want to delve into, and I'm happy to take you guys' thoughts on this, is whether Monday impacts this in any way, shape or form. And what I mean is, it was always going to shape this side, because this is not a game in isolation. Liverpool play three games of football this week. This is the middle one. There was always going to be significant changes, but I'm not sure. I don't think it necessarily impacts Klopp's thinking, the Monday game, but I wonder whether it might impact Arteta's thinking.
I think I worry a little bit about Thursday in terms of the results, only because I look at Arsenal's team on Monday and I see Caballos didn't start. I see Pepe, although he's unproven still, didn't start. I saw Willian went off. I saw that a couple of their centre-halves, I know at least one of them, they've just signed, is Gabriel, who's meant to be sort of a new hotshot, and didn't start.
Aubameyang wasn't involved.
Yeah, Aubameyang was sat on the sideline.
Oh, yes.
He's on physio duties, really. So, yeah, but you know what? The only thing I would say is that Arsenal team will be very tired Tuesday morning, be absolutely shattered. They did a lot of running. So I think it will be a different side from Arsenal. But I do think the way he's set up with the likes of Elneny playing and Holding playing means that they're going to have a slightly stronger side than maybe they could have had for this game on Thursday, because of those changes. In the same way Liverpool would have had we had Thiago, Henderson, etc. playing, you may have seen, you know, potentially Wijnaldum and Keita starting, whereas I think just, you know, a couple of injuries for us and the way Arsenal set out, I think it is going to be an interesting lineup. I'm really looking forward to seeing what defence we put out. I think we make 10 changes. I think Gomez is probably the only one who stays, only because he hasn't played two games last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I mean, this is the thing, Emma, and you know, as far as Arteta's thinking goes, I wonder whether there's a bit of brinksmanship here. Like, Liverpool are definitely going to make changes for this game. And I wonder whether, you know, normally I think there's like a tacit agreement in these kind of environments. And we saw this with the game last season, albeit with a different Arsenal manager in charge, that, you know, well, look, we're going to both play second string sides because that's how we treat this competition. And whether Arteta, you know, it is still very early into his Arsenal tenure. There have been some real positive strides and I don't think he needs the win per se. But I do wonder whether he might just go, well, this Klopp's thinking's not going to change it. And he wonder whether he thinks he can steal a march by just asking a couple of his players to go again and give them a slightly stronger side.
Yeah, it's interesting there that you said that you don't think Arteta necessarily needs to win this game. I would argue that I think the cup competitions for Arsenal are quite important this season, actually, because you saw what the kind of the bounce off and the confidence that FA Cup win gave them last season. And I think... Yeah. This year, obviously, I think their priority is to try and break into that top four, sure. But going on a good cup run and developing the kind of the depth that they've got in the squad, I think, is really important to Arsenal. So I do think he will have one eye on that. And like you say, because he will know that Klopp kind of inevitably has to make changes, as Sam's pointed out, you know, the players that we had on the pitch against Arsenal yesterday, and obviously the games that we've got coming up, I think it's natural that Klopp is going to have to rotate. And I think I can't remember who Arsenal played in the last cup game, but they named Leicester. A strong team. Leicester, yeah, that was it. And they named a fairly strong team against Leicester, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a kind of a 60-70%. First team kind of squad from Arsenal, you know, in this game, and I think it'll be a really, really tough night for Liverpool. And yeah, I think just on paper as well, just getting that kind of win over Jurgen Klopp and a win over Liverpool will just give Arsenal that much needed boost, I think. So yeah.
They are. I mean, look, again, when I say that it doesn't need to win it, I think he does. Chris, because I think silverware, I mean, there's a clutch of managers for whom this competition's taken on added importance this season. I think you can throw, for the first time in ages, you can throw Everton into the mix, etc. Tottenham Hotspur will be in the mix for this one. Wolves even. So lots of managers will be going a little bit harder for this. I think Liverpool want to win this competition this season. I genuinely think they do. But I also think that our understanding of what that means has changed. I think you can see in how Linda's talked about it prior to Lincoln, you know, about the cultivating an atmosphere in the squad that says that they all seem from the same hymn sheet, they all play the same way, means that... sorry, Sam pointed out to me there that Wolves are already out. Good point. Good point, well made. The Liverpool will trust lads that maybe us as fans wouldn't necessarily trust. And look, at this point, we're all kind of cool with that, aren't we?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's important for Liverpool that we go deep into these competitions, because I think it will impact our Premier League form and impact our Premier League results. And I'm not necessarily saying that Liverpool are going to make this a priority this season, but keeping the fitness levels high of the squad players will be a priority this season, because I think there's going to be more injuries for all the top clubs, for all the Premier League clubs, never mind the top clubs. And so you need to have people who are going to be match fit, and this competition and the FA Cup, I'm afraid, will be an option for Liverpool to get players match fitness who aren't normally going to be getting minutes. You know, Liverpool have got a big squad still. You know, Jürgen spoke about it in the last 7 days. You know, you can't keep a squad of 30 players. Well, in a normal season, that absolutely would be the case. I'm not sure how many players are going to be sold in the last sort of 6 days of this transfer window. So I think Jürgen might have a bigger squad than he's expecting to have, and he'll utilise every member of that squad. They're not at Liverpool. They're not wasted at Liverpool, these players, the extra players, you know what I mean? He chooses not to have good players around because he thinks he can get more out of a smaller squad, but he will keep those players fit if he can do, because he'll see the benefits to having a Shaqiri or a Wilson if they are in and around the first team squad. And I think fastest finger there was Emma Sanders.
Yes, I won it this week. I lost to you last week, Chris, so I'm buzzing. and we won't go into the joke that you brought up last week, because it was horrendous. But yeah, I think even like at the start of this, when you were sort of naming those fringe players, those squad players, Chris, and you know, you bring up the likes of Curtis Jones, Minamino, Diogo Jota now, Harvey Elliott. These are players which a year or two ago, the drop off between the sort of the starting 11 and the squad was so much, it was so much more vast. Whereas now, you know, you mentioned Curtis Jones as one of them. I see him as, you know, a proper first team player now. I see him as somebody who will come on and play half an hour in Premier League games. And I'd be happy to see him come on in like the 60th, 70th minute of, you know, week in, week out in the Premier League. So to have him as a kind of a starting option in these cup competitions, we've not had that for a while. Liverpool have not had that depth for a while. So just being able to rotate and have those players involved is just such a big difference, I think, for Liverpool. And I think you're right. I think having, you know, a bit of a cup run in these competitions, I think, is important in terms of rotation, but also just keeping squad members happy and making them feel a part of something. We've seen Manchester City do that with the likes of Phil Foden and Leroy Sané. When he was here, he was sort of one of those who would, you know, be part of that rotation. He obviously didn't feel that he was getting enough of it. But if Liverpool can go and compete on, you know, Sam mentioned this in the Final Word show that we just recorded, if Liverpool can go and compete in at least three competitions this season and really challenge for those titles, and I agree, I think Liverpool are in a position to do that, then that's only going to improve the squad depth and also attracting players to the squad in the future as well.
And what Sam, you obviously wanted to jump in with a point there, mate. What was yours?
Yeah, I really agree with what Emma just said there about Curtis Jones, actually. And just sort of conversation I was having with a few of my friends before the Arsenal game. If Gomez wasn't quite ready and Fabinho played, we were all in agreement. We want to see Curtis Jones. You know, Milner's not quite ready. We want to see Jones. So he's that close, which is amazing. So bringing him into this game is fantastic. But I actually think just sort of as we've been discussing that, it comes to mind, this game's really important for our transfer window. If we win this game, there's players who are going to get more minutes in December, and obviously potentially with the Champions League weaker game, hopefully we get a team that we can put a lesser side at our home to. But this game is really important for Shaqiri, for Origi, for Minamino, because this is going to be their starting games. So actually Thursdays are really interesting. Depends on how you take it, really. It could be really important for Klopp because we want to win those three titles or four titles, whatever it is we go for. And it also is really important for the squad. If we lose on Thursday, there's a possibility you see an extra person go out the door because we just haven't got the games for them until January. If we win on Thursday, then you're going to play. That's your cup competition, Cometio. You're going to play in that game. Whoever we get in December in the quarterfinal, that's your spot. So I think it really depends on where you want to come at this in terms of who it's more important to. Because my point was more with Paul is I think Arteta's got to worry about Thursday, Sunday. I think he's got to worry about top four a hell of a lot more than he has winning a cup, because he did just win a cup last year. I think Ollie is under a wholly different pressure. But I think for us, I actually think there's more value in where we are as a squad. 99 points. We need to be adding a cup to that. So we want to up level as a team, that's what we do this year. Win two domestic titles.
Yeah, I think I think Liverpool's run in this cup competition will be dependent upon the general levels of fitness. If it comes a point where, and we saw Virgil van Dijk being used in the last round, Chris, because we had no choice. Really, you know, we did. We could have put Sepp Vandenberg in there, but obviously he wanted to see his less senior defender through a game, so it made sense to do a 50-50 split with Fabinho and Van Dijk. But like that quarterfinal, if that comes in the middle of, you know, in a period where Liverpool really could do with a couple of wins back to back in the Premier League, don't be shocked if we do play a more weakened side. But at the moment, what I wondered is, I had to pop out, so I don't know whether you've discussed this yet already, but you know, when the international break comes back, we're back into two games a week, but it's Champions League, and whether there's an opportunity here, Chris, for us to actually go stronger in this game than maybe we think, because from once the footy returns, we're going to be having to play two strong but two rotated sides a week.
I don't know. I think he sticks with the same type of a side. I don't think it was a particularly weak side that starts against Lincoln. I think there was many, you know, proper first team squad players in there. Now, does he sort of, I suppose, correct me if I'm wrong here, Paul, but what you're asking is, what we probably saw was against Arsenal, our 100% side, the best of the best, the lads who are 1 to 11, that's the 100%. And against Lincoln, we probably saw your 50% side. Are you saying, suggesting maybe even them both out to maybe 80 and 70% with maybe one more, two more first teamers nailed on, first teamers taken away from your first side? Because I can't see that happening if that is what you're suggesting. I think what you go against Aston Villa, you get through to the international break and you see what comes out the back of that. And I think why I say that is because you just don't know what's happening. I mean, COVID, all that type of stuff. You literally could go quite a strong side here, a weakened side against Villa, and have three lads come back with COVID-19 from the international break or an injury or something. Get your games won where you can. And for me, that's Aston Villa at the weekend. And then you see what comes out of it after back of the international break.
Maybe, but what I mean is that, you know, in once we're back in, there's always a game that's slightly harder than the other. So there's all, and I don't think it's necessarily that. But what I mean is that Harry Wilson's still at the club. Unlucky Harry Wilson for being at the club. Instead of him being on the bench, it's just someone slightly better. You know what I mean? It's a Wijnaldum's on the bench instead of Harry Wilson this time around, because Harry Wilson won't be on the bench once the Champions League starts, and Marko Grujic probably won't be in the squad once those games start. You're slightly whittling your squad size down. I don't think, again, I don't necessarily think this is the case, but it is an interesting opportunity because, as I say, what Klopp does historically is it's the 60-minute, 30-minute thing. The lad that plays 60 minutes midweek plays 30 minutes at the weekend if he rotates in that way, and it's whether he chooses to ape that model now, which is the model he will use, or whether he just goes with what we've been doing so far, you know, which we saw last week was go pure second string and go full strength at the weekend. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the 1 to 11 is pure second string, and then you might be right, you know, your 12 to whatever it is, 19 or whatever, it is probably more of your first team players and stuff like that. Now, I do think the one thing that we're not thinking about is Klopp tends to rotate in the Champions League in the early stages and has done that the last two seasons. So it's not a case of when we come back in two games a week that you need a Premier League side and a Champions League side, because he tends to mix it up in the early round in the group stages of the Champions League and brings in, I think you'll see the likes of maybe Minamino or something like that, depending on the type of fixture and obviously the team that you go up against. We've not seen Liverpool in a genuine group of death yet. So that might change that, obviously, but where we stand right now, the draw's not been made. He'll probably be hoping for a relatively Shakhtar Donetsk, Man City-esque draw. And because that's what the champions get, isn't it? You know what I mean? So yeah,
that, well, you say that pot two this year is absolutely fucking horrendous. We will be doing a live Champions League draw now that we mention it here.
You can only get one of them though, Paul. Thankfully.
Yeah, mercifully. If you want to watch that, yeah, I think the draw's from 5 p.m. on Thursday. We're going to be live for that, and then we're going to be live for this game as well. We're going to take a very short break to tell you all about the wonderful merchandise that is available on the Red Men TV shop right now. Here's a little look. Okay, yes, welcome back. There's some new stuff that's been added since we made that advert. There's the Thiago t-shirt, and there's lots of other bits and pieces, like this wonderful mug that we've got here right now, which I can put all the way up there. Look how good that is. But yeah, thanks so much for everyone who has
purchased. It's more in focus in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. thanks so much.
It's not as blurry as that.
Purchase stuff, you can go over there and have a little peruse and see what you like and see what you don't like, and then buy the stuff that you do like. And buy the stuff that you don't like for people you don't like, because you know what?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why not? We'll move on. No Thiago for this one, Emma. He had a minor injury issue or fitness issue, which we've speculated heavily means that he's in COVID isolation. Not that Liverpool would put that out there. I mean, that's the hope. It sounds really weird given the climate, but you know, given that one of the only lingering fear over the Thiago signing is how many games he's available for in a general sense. I mean, look, it could just be a case of Liverpool putting him through his paces, trying to get him up to the fitness levels required. But I'm kind of hoping that it's not an injury thing, because obviously we want to see as much of Thiago as possible.
Yeah, I just love watching him play football. I was like really, really gutted that he wasn't in the squad for the Arsenal game. But yeah, I don't think it's anything to worry about. From sort of things that I've heard, I think it's probably more towards the minor injury actually, but rather than the COVID line. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think, like you say, I think it's more about him coming in and needing to get back to full fitness, really. And it wouldn't surprise me if he hasn't even got an injury. And Klopp's just said, you know, you've not had a pre-season with us yet. Let's just leave you out for a week or two. Mm. And put him on his own little training programme.
Well, given how we've protected Naby Keita, you know, he's clearly a transformative player. You know, that's what we're looking at. And look, we will be aware of fitness issues in a long-term sense, and you want him on the pitch as much as possible. So I actually think if that is the case, it's probably not a bad move. And again, just the reference to Naby Keita stuff, we've seen him. He doesn't play 90 minutes often, but we're playing him, we're getting him on the pitch more often as a result, and that might well be the plan with Thiago.
Yeah, and we've just been discussing, you know, about all the different types of rotation and stuff that we'll play in different games and what competitions you might want to play weaker squads for. And by keeping Thiago fresh for, you know, a guaranteed number of games, you prioritise, don't you? So he wouldn't have played against Arsenal in this game, I don't think, at all. Maybe he might come on as a sub, but I mean, at the end of the day, when you're trying to build someone's fitness and they're new into the team, why risk that? I think Klopp might have named him on the bench just so he could sit and watch a little bit, like what he did with Jota in the Premier League the other day. You know, give him that time to sit and watch from the bench for the first hour and then bring him on and get him up to match speed. But I think on the whole, having Thiago out until after the international break, that's not going to harm anyone. And I think after that break, you know, when we go back into the Premier League, he'll be fit and raring to go.
Absolutely. Sorry, just a really quick one. Obviously, Emma just mentioned it there, and we were all nodding along, hopeful that actually he's not got an injury. But international break looming, small injury right before the international break, your new player gets to stay with your team for that little bit longer. It's as a phrase that Sam used on the final word, it's very Champions, that, isn't it? It's something that Manchester United used to do a fucking hell of a lot of.
Shithousery, Chris. At the top shithousery. Of the
yeah. International shithousery. I love it. We all love to see it. Chris, I mean, this is, the conversation pre-break notwithstanding, I think there's a number of players who were just nailed on for this game. You know, this is a Minamino team without a shadow of a doubt. It's a Curtis Jones team without a shadow of a doubt. If he's fit and available, which of course he wasn't for Lincoln, it's a James Milner captain's armband situation, you would imagine. Costa Tsimikas, you mentioned already, Nico Williams, Adrian. I think the vast majority of this side actually kind of picks itself. It's then really about, and again, it's a question of strength, and it's a question of what Liverpool are looking to do to support that, and a question of fitness. So the centre-backs, is it neither of the centre-halves? Probably not. It's probably one from Gomez and Van Dijk, etc., etc.
Yeah, I think so. The real interesting player for me, I think you've named a lot of players there that are guaranteed to start. The real interesting one to see where he's at right now is Divock Origi, because I think that's the one where you go, where if he's not playing again, what's the plan for Divock this season? Because Jota's just come in and scored on his Premier League debut. You know, looked really bright. Looked like he can play that left wing position so much better than Divock, because he just... fit it, you know. And there's no disrespect to Divock here, he's not a left winger, although he's better on the left, I think, than he is as a centre forward. I know people have different views on that, whatever, but like, we've seen Minamino against Everton last season on the right hand side. You know, could Divock get a starting shot as the number nine with Minamino on the right, or could he go on the left with Jota in the centre, or can Jota play in the right, Minamino, Divock? Or is Harvey Elliott just going to start this game? And for me, I just think this is a massive game for Divock's Liverpool career, to be honest with you. If he doesn't start in your second string side, are we selling him?
Well, that's an interesting debate, isn't it, Sam? And it's whether it's almost like a way of just pushing him, showing him the door. Because, I mean, you'd imagine Harvey Elliott, you know, it would be weird, I think, to start Harvey Elliott in a game when Divock Origi doesn't get involved. And that's, look, in terms of the system, Harvey Elliott plays from the right-hand side. It would be a more natural fit to keep him there. You've got Jadon Shaqiri, of course, who's in this conversation as well, in a very similar way to Origi. Shaqiri had a really good game against Lincoln. I think he'd be a bit upset not to be starting this, again, as another senior footballer.
I've actually forgotten about Shaqiri. Apologies, Jadon.
Yeah, we all do, and that's the thing, isn't it, for Shaqiri and for Origi, now that Jota's there, Sam, is that you would imagine he'll start this game because he's probably due a start now. But what does that... What's the knock-on effect for those other two or three lads who would also probably expect to be in this game?
Yeah, we've actually got now, haven't we, a forward line that substitutes for the main three that actually play in their natural roles. So you've got Jota, Minamino, and Andor, Shaqiri, and Harvey Elliott. Yeah. Obviously, he's a deputy at the moment. But I would be very surprised if Origi starts this game, to be honest. And the only way he does is, in my opinion, is if Shaqiri's got a knock, which isn't beyond belief. Or if he plays Shaqiri in a midfield attacking three with Jones and Grujic or Milner. So it really does depend on how he's set up. But I personally wouldn't, if I was picking this side, which I'm glad I'm not paid to, I wouldn't pick Origi. I think he's not looked like he's been at the races. His goal the other day was a bit of a token moment in the game. He was out the game really against Lincoln, which is not really where he should be at. He should have been dominating that game. He should have been too strong, too quick, too smart for those Lincoln defenders and central midfielders. So, like I said, if we win this game, he may stay, or whoever it is who misses out may stay till December. But if we don't, or if the squad's looking quite fresh come the 6th of October, 5th of October, he may well go. I personally don't think he starts. I think he's the one that misses out.
Interesting, Emma.
Do you think that there could be an option where Klopp says, right, we're going to do a 50-50, and he maybe starts with Origi, but... he's basically had a word with Minamino and said you will be playing the second half, and whether that's something that's kind of pre-arranged where either, I know you could arguably do the same with Shaqiri and Harvey Elliott, where you basically guarantee everyone, you know, half a game, and you say, you know, you're going to play the first half, you're going to play the second half. We've seen him do that before in the cups. I think I'm just throwing that out there, but I think I'm more with you, Sam. I think I don't think Origi start in this game.
I'd
start Minamino.
I would suggest, if anything, it would be more likely between Jota and Origi, because again, you've still got that thing of Jota's just getting settled into the side. But there's a headache there. You know, again, Shaqiri plays in midfield, but I think Shaqiri probably plays in midfield in the last game just due to a lack of numbers. I know Keita's on the bench, but as mentioned previously, we're protecting Naby Keita better than normal. Yeah. Grujic plays in the six. If you choose to play Grujic in the six a game for this, and James Milner's now fit and available, well, it's Grujic, Milner and Jones. Chris is the midfield, which means that Shaqiri's not in consideration, which means does he have to then play in the three if he's starting that game? That's again,
you've got to think about the opposition as well, is that the last game was obviously Lincoln. This is now Arsenal, and you think that probably in terms of like the midfield that you play against Lincoln, you are going to go more attacking. So is he gonna risk playing Shaqiri and Curtis Jones in the same midfield? I would argue no.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, I think the same. I think Shaqiri probably goes back into the front three at this point. I think, you know, Harvey, I still think this season's maybe a season too early for Harvey Elliott. I feel terrible saying this because I can clearly see that he's got skills and I think he needs to bulk up a little bit more. I think he's still very, very young and we put a little bit too much hope into him. Curtis, for being a couple of years older than Harvey Elliott, looks a couple of years older than Harvey Elliott. And when he goes into the first team side, he doesn't look out of place. Which I think the game kind of passes Harvey Elliott by. And against Arsenal, I don't think we can afford to do that if we want to go through in this competition. You're sacrificing a very important role in our side to give Harvey Elliott a few minutes. And I think he'll go on and he'll prove himself to be a good player in the future and stuff. But right now, Shaqiri is streets ahead of him when he's fit. Streets ahead. And not only that, think about the set pieces.
As he should be, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he should be. He's won two European Cups in his career, Shaqiri. You know, and Elliot's just starting out on his long journey, hasn't he?
Elliot's just done his GCSEs.
Yeah. It's just won the one.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah. So I think, you know, Shaqiri adds something with the set pieces, you know, his corners, everything else. If you're missing Robbo and you're missing Trent, you need someone who's going to be able to deliver that. I think Arsenal's backup line, it could be quite good, their defence. You know, I think, you know, Gabriel's going to be in there, who started the season quite well for Arsenal. Kolasinac is probably going to be in there, experienced defender. I'm not sure whether Holding plays or not on the right-hand side, or if Luis keeps a spot in the back three. But I think Gabriel, Kolasinac and David Luiz is a straight no-no, because they're all left-footed, I think, which you can't do. You can play two left-footed centre-halves in a back three. You can't play two left-footed centre-halves in a back two. You certainly can't play three left-footed centre-halves in a back three.
Shades of Ruddock, Babb, and what would it be, Harkness for Liverpool in the Harkness. 90s, for anyone who remembers
I was thinking Dix was probably the other centre-half actually there. Because Harkness was the left wing back, wasn't he, back then?
We're getting too old here for me. Too old. Yeah, bring it back to like the new millennium.
So no, it won't. It isn't, because no one plays multiple left-footed centre halves anymore, apart from maybe Arsenal. And to be fair, Man City, if they play their new signing Ake alongside Laporte. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting one to see what Liverpool do. And I think the Shaqiri question is there. And I think it would be fair, Sam, if Shaqiri got the nod ahead of Elliott, as much as we're excited for it. But on the just in defence of Harvey Elliott, I think he actually, from what we've seen from him, he actually performs better against better sides in some regards, because look, Arsenal are not going to be a physical opponent in the same way. Now, actually, you know, if they put Kolasinac in there, that might change things ever so slightly, but Harvey Elliott playing against the Flair side actually might suit him, his lack of physicality, a little bit better. But again, you've got to manage Shaqiri and his expectations.
It's going to be really interesting as well, just thinking about, we were talking in the previous show about Arsenal's style. And you were talking about Kolasinac, etc., Gabriel playing. If Arsenal come to Anfield with a second string team and try and play out from the back the same way, with weaker players, with less deadly attackers, with less deadly midfielders, although Kabalos might play, they could be in for an even worse night than they were the other day. Because I looked at their goalkeeper just as we were chatting then to see who's going to play in goal for them. I've never heard of him. He's got about 15 names, and the last name I saw on the Sky app was like 16 characters long. So good luck with that one. Because obviously Martinez is gone now, hasn't he? So yeah. I think we may pick our team also based on the style that Arsenal play. So he may look at Shaqiri and go, yeah, you're a good player, but you're a bit lazy. So I will play Elliott, or I will play Origi. So just sort of bringing it more back to, instead of just picking it based on us, based on a little bit of what Arsenal are going to do and how they're going to set up as well, could also depend on whether it's Elliott or Shaqiri or Origi. Because Klopp might just tinker with it a slight different bit because of the players that are available to him, and also the way that Arsenal are likely to set up and the personnel that are in there. Like I said, our teams from under sixes to first team play the same way. We've got that now at our club. If that's what Arsenal are going to do, this team that are going to play on Thursday are going to be a massively light version of what they did on Monday, which wasn't good enough. So that's going to be interesting to see as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam, what would you do if Saka was starting with Kolasinac, just out of interest, because that's what I think the left side will be.
Yeah.
I think we've got to make sure we've got... That's where you'd maybe look at playing... You'd play Milner on the right side of the midfield 100%, because you need that covering with Nico. But I think that's probably the most worst-case scenario, because Elliot's probably going to put more into the game than Shaqiri while he's on the pitch anyway, in terms of coverage. But he's not strong enough. He's not as strong as Shaqiri. So that's where you might see Origi play on the right, just shoe on him, because he does cover ground, he knows the role, and he is big and he is strong and he is quick enough to get them turning back towards their own goal. I think, to be honest, that area of the pitch is going to be really important for us and Arsenal. Like you said, it's likely to be Saka and Kolasinac because that's the way Arsenal have been setting up and that's who they've got available to them fresh. Remember how tired they're going to be from Monday as well, really. And they've had to fly back and then fly up again, which isn't ideal. So I think that's going to be a real pivotal part. And I'm actually just moving forward. I'm really intrigued to see what we do. But what about yourself? I would go Rigi just based on those two players, actually.
I probably, if Kolasinac plays, I want Shaqiri out there because I think he's a little bit stronger, a little bit more experienced. But again, it's the Saka thing. I think that's, you know, you've got a really strong centre-half with a really pacey attacking left wing-back. And that doesn't really mix well. So I think it's down to the midfield and, you know, whether, yeah, I don't know. I think I've liked the Nico Williams, Curtis Jones on the right-hand side of the midfield. I think that would do well, but Saka, Jones, I'm not sure. I think that's probably the hardest decision Liverpool going to have to make him.
But have we considered perhaps Trent starting at right back and Nico playing at left back? Because we've seen him play in both full back positions. And if they're worried about the potential threat down that side from Arsenal, then give Trent a half.
But also Pepe's on that, probably going to play on that right hand side for them, and I think you know we want to see Tsimikas, I suppose, play that left back position, don't we, and see what he's up to.
He's beat Arsenal, remember, last year, two legs, Olympiacos.
Yeah,
he's played them against their best, so he's been there.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important fact. Look, I think Tsimikas.
Remember, I just found that out. Starts.
Yeah, Tsimikas for me, he absolutely starts. I think Nico Williams gets it because I just think Klopp just trusts his lads. And again, Nico Williams is another one of those random ones. Similar, we had this conversation on the final word about how Joe Gomez is, some people have just got issues with him. And look, Nico Williams is very much learning his trade. He's not at the same standard yet of Trent Alexander-Arnold, but he's a very, very, very good young footballer. And I think the point...
He's a kid.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's gonna have games where he's brilliant. He's gonna have games where he's slightly off or whatever. Yeah, it will be one option there. And we saw this against Lincoln. It was something we highlighted in commentary at the time. Is we went for the young right hand side, but it was a young right hand side that all knew each other from the under 23 level. And went with Williams, Jones, and Elliot down that, and that maybe you gain a bit more understanding by having those lads know each other's game a little bit better than what have you. But I think that the point here is that there's. Within reason, there's three or four random variations on this side that I'm no less excited to see. If you tell me Shaqiri's starting, I'm actually quite excited to see that because I think Shaqiri's quite an exciting footballer. He's not good enough to burst through our first team on a regular basis, but he's at least as good as Arsenal. Even Arsenal's best team, I think he's good enough to be involved in that Arsenal side, which means that in this game, he should be absolutely fine. And then, if not, it's a young, exciting, potential wonder kid that's going to drop in there. If not, it's Divock Origi, who, yes, we know what we're going to get, but we know that you're going to get goals from Divock if he gets given the opportunity. And then, again, new £40 million signing could start on the left. Minamino, I just want to see more and more from him because he gets better and better each time around. Take your pick from the midfield. You know, we could well have a midfield where it's like Milner, Wijnaldum and Jones could easily be our midfield three there. You never know. I mean, I guess Jordan Henderson's out for this one, but he might well be knocking on the door to get a couple of minutes under his belt. There's options is the most glorious thing. Knowing that we have those options, therefore knowing that we do not know really what the team is going to be, I'm going to ask you for score predictions. Chris, what score would you like it to be?
Would you mind if I copy Emma again? Because she called 3-1, I think, for the last game, and I copied it and we got it right. So, yeah. Emma, whatever. You first, mate.
I actually think Arsenal might sneak this, you know. I'm going to go 2-1 Arsenal.
Right, turn Emma
right,
off.
Yeah, fuck that. thanks. No chance. 3-1 Liverpool again.
So Chris and Emma have both predicted a Liverpool defeat.
Am I muted here or what? 3-1 Liverpool again. Thank you very much. Three goals from Diogo Jota.
5-4.
Come on.
Our defence is going to be like brilliant going forward, interesting at the back. Arsenal are going to play some good players, and I think we're going to cause them murder up top. I think we're going to win the game 5-4.
I'm here for a Joe Gomez, Billy Cometio centre-back partnership that's going to be our, in 10 years' time, it's going to be the thing that wins our 12th European Cup.
Are we still not past Real Madrid in that time? Bloody hell.
Yeah, I'll take a
I'll take a 4-3, to Liverpool. Yeah, I could see this being another bonkers game of football, a bit like last year's was. But as long as the Reds come out on top, who's arsed? Let us know your team. What 11 would you like to see in the comments section underneath? Do drop it in there and you can help Chris have a little ahead of his starting 11 prediction show, which will be tomorrow, which will be the Wednesday afternoon, which would be very interesting to see.
Good luck with
what
that.
He throws up for this one. All the best. Plenty more to come.
I might just throw them at the board and see what sticks. That's a good, good shout.
Yeah. Absolutely. Shaqiri would fall off. You can still, there's plenty of content for you. If you want to watch the final word show from the last Arsenal game, it is there for YouTube members, whether you're club captain or club legend, and of course subscribers to the RedmenTV.com as well. Do check out, of course, the Redmen merch. If you're watching this on YouTube, it is in a little shelf below. You can just go down, scroll down, have a little peruse of that. But yes, guys, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back live, as mentioned, with the Champions League draw, followed by Liverpool versus Arsenal in the fourth round of the EFL Cup, all the way through with the Fan Zone watch along commentary. And yeah, we hope to see you there. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.